Okay, we will move on, and Jay's going to stay with us. Fish spawning and stocking update, and I believe we got a handout for that as well, correct?
Yes, and thank you again, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, and again, Jake Davis, Program Administrator with the Aquatic Section. And this morning, I'm going to give you a real brief update on our spawning and stocking updates. It's a busy time within the fisheries section within South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks right now. This is just an update. It's not a summary because we are certainly still very much conducting these efforts right now. When I was leaving the office yesterday, the electrofishing boat was heading down to Angostura to look for some gizzard shad. So staff are spending a lot of time out right now moving fish. But again, I want to cover what has occurred so far and then just give some idea on what's going to happen here in the coming weeks. But we're hoping to be back in front of this body here in the next month or two to provide a summary of our activities. But right now, it's just an update. So just starting with our walleye and sauger spawning efforts, this is certainly a big effort within Game, Fish, and Parks. On an annual basis, our area supervisors across the state put together stocking requests. These requests are based on current conditions. Some water bodies, for example, for walleye or sauger. I should mention sauger are a cross between walleye and sauger. We take female walleyes and male sauger and create the hybrid. It does happen in the wild as well, but in certain cases we've seen these fish do better than stocking pure strain walleye, so we do have a number of sauger stockings that happen within the state. But how our area managers put together their numbers are, in some cases, water bodies are on an every other year stocking schedule. Others are a result of winter kill. Thankfully, this winter, we didn't see much of that. Last year at this time, I was in front of this commission talking about the high numbers of what winter kill waters that we had. This year was much lighter. With that also impacts the number of waters that we need to stock, especially with juvenile walleye. However, so this year, when our managers put together their numbers, this is what you have in front of you here. They had just over 35 million fry that were going to be stocked into 37 waters. Just under 5 million juveniles. These are going to be fingerling walleyes a couple inches long for 32 waters. And for sauger, about 1.5 million fry and 200,000 juveniles. So those are our goals, our requests that we had this year. From that, we put together our egg take goal, if you will. This year, the egg take goal was around 110 million. The thought there is that 110 million with an estimated, and we kind of tend to err on the side of caution, a hatch rate of around 40%, that would leave us a goal of 110 million eggs. Now again, one thing I want to point out with that hatch rate is when it's higher than that, a lot of times we have excess fish, which is the norm most years what we do. But just to be on the safe side, we kind of err on that side of caution and just assume a 40% hatch rate. So this year was 110 million. However, we had some pretty tough conditions in eastern South Dakota this year. We had some warm-ups and then some cool-downs, and then also we had periods of high wind. So a lot of days our staff weren't able to get out in the field safely to collect eggs in eastern South Dakota. And so we really had a combination of tough conditions for the fish and then tough conditions for our staff. That being said, they were able to get out and collect some eggs. We had just over 64 million eggs that were collected from eastern South Dakota. That's broken down by water body if you want to see in that handout. We did collect a few eggs in western South Dakota, just over 600,000. Those water bodies there generally don't, we haven't had the same consistency with egg take as we do in eastern South Dakota. And then because our numbers were a little bit lower as far as reaching that egg goal, we were able to receive some assistance from some of our neighboring states and receive some eggs from them, so in the tune of about 40 million. So in the end, we received enough eggs to meet all of our stocking requests. Those fish are being hatched out right now, but a total egg take between our staff and our neighboring states of about 104 million eggs. So with that, those are going to be taken primarily to Blue Dog State Fish Hatchery. A few did go to Cleghorn Springs State Fish Hatchery, and they're in the process of hatching those fish out right now. We've had a few fry stockings that have occurred. No juvenile stockings yet, just because those fish haven't had the chance to grow to that size, but they'll happen here in the coming months. So just to give you an idea on where we are with stocking, not just for hatchery fish, but also our staff goes out and conducts a lot of what we call trap and transfer. What happens here is that we go to one public water body that we feel has an excess of a certain species. We take those and move them to another water body. So distribute that resource. This time of year is a great time to do it too, because a lot of times we're getting these fish pre-spawn. They're adults and they're pre-spawn, so we get kind of a double benefit there, where as soon as they're moved from one body to another, as an adult, they've recruited to that catchable and harvestable population. But also, being pre-spawn, if they're able to spawn reproductively if they're able to do that, basically you get that reproductive potential on top of that adult catching opportunity. So really we get kind of a double bang for our buck by stocking these adults pre-spawn. Staff have been able to get out and move a lot of fish right now. You can see there's quite a variety of species that have been moved. A lot of these have been moved to urban and community fisheries as well. And so just moving a lot of fish, and this will continue to happen. One example I want to point out, talking about that excess opportunity that we can then distribute across the state, is probably our yellow perch population. Those 84,000 plus adults have come from one water body. Certainly has an excess, that's Deerfield Reservoir. A lot of these fish just exhibit a low size structure just because we have such a high number of them. But we're able to take these fish, and those fish have benefited 27 waters across the state right now. So that's just a really good example to show that excess resource that we can then move around the state, again, as pre-spawn adults, and hopefully have a positive impact on those other fisheries as well. Staff have done a great job. I want to take this opportunity to thank all of our aquatic staff right now, and additionally all the other GFP staff that have helped out with spawning activities. It's a big lift. They work weekends. They work, I mean, as I said, there were some windy days that we didn't go, but there are a lot of windy days that they did go. These are not always ideal conditions in April to be out on boats. So really a big thank you to aquatic staff and then any other GFP staff that helped with efforts this year. So just to cover real quick some of the things that are going to happen in the coming weeks, as I said, this is just a summary. We're still very much conducting these activities. We have paddlefish spawning coming up here, I believe the 12th and 13th. So if there are any commissioners that are interested in helping collect these broodstock paddlefish out of the Chamberlain office, just chat with me after and we can get those days set up. But staff will be going out and collecting adults for broodstock. We partner with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to collect these large adult paddlefish. Additionally, our state hatcheries are going to continue to produce fish. Blue Dog State Fish Hatchery right now, these walleye are hatching right now. Fry are leaving station. As those fish continue to grow, fingerlings will start leaving the station. Same with Cleghorn Springs and McNaney State Fish Hatchery. We've got cold water production happening at both of those, so rainbow trout leaving the hatchery. Additionally, we've got Cleghorn Springs in their recirculating aquaculture that are raising some different product for us. Those are going to continue to be leaving the hatchery. So again, a lot of fish that we've been growing will be entering public waters here very shortly. And so the goal is that these will all be helping, well, really increase our angling opportunities across the state. Additionally, we get some assistance from other states, kind of a fish trading, if you will. Mike Barnes, our production program administrator, would probably be a great used car salesman because he's wheeling and dealing all the time. So we have fish coming into this state from neighboring ones, catfish, largemouth bass, yeah, bluegill. And then additionally, we have some reciprocal agreements where we provide them some fish as well. The nice thing about doing this is they may have brood stock on station that we don't have. And if we're able to trade, that means that we don't have to have them. They may have opportunities to collect other fish that we don't have or that we don't have time to. So again, if we're able to just have this back and forth and trade fish, it really works out well for both sides. And Mike's done a really good job on building those relationships. And we do have a breakdown of that handout if you want to see more specifically on what species of fish and what states those are occurring with. So again, real brief rundown, just a summary, an update, not a complete summary. That'll be coming later. But with that, really, again, a lot of efforts by our staff. Appreciate all their efforts. It's a busy time for us, but it's a fun time as well. We sit inside looking at snow all winter, and you're kind of just hoping to get out and move some fish. And so we've been able to do that. And with that, if I can get her to go, I would be happy to take any questions on our spawning and stocking efforts.
Very good. Questions for Jake. Commissioner Beese.
Commissioner Beese, I think you answered it already, but we just trade fishes with fish. We don't have to buy fry or anything like that from the other state, or the eggs. We just trade
through the chair
year to year.
Yeah, Commissioner Beese, yes. What we'll do is work out, again, some kind of this for that type of agreement where we might have a species that they're looking for. We have some level of production that they can't meet or something along those lines. A lot of it is also timing. For example, so Nebraska, they take eggs before we do. Just being further south, they warm up quicker. And so being able to spread out our walleye take eases some of the hatchery constraints, as well as if you can rotate eggs in. And so it works for us, for example, to get eggs earlier from them, and then we might take later eggs. And so there's a timing aspect to it as well. But yes, it's just basically ways to find trades without actual money changing hands, if you will.
I don't know much about fish genetics or anything like that, but there are certain places you prefer to get those from that are better strain or anything like that. And then you did mention during your presentation there, you mentioned a different product that was coming out of, what kind of different product were you talking about coming out of the hatcheries? Is it just some odd type of fish or something? Or
through the chair? Yeah, so Commissioner Beast, so the first question on the genetic side of things, we've certainly done some genetics work with these different populations, but in a lot of cases too, these are going into water bodies that may be winter kill or something where we're not necessarily concerned with the genetic strain. Now, I will say that we're conducting some work here looking at a specific walleye strain out of Minnesota that's shown to do very well in marginal waters. So it does come into consideration, but on an annual basis, we don't necessarily do a genetic analysis of all our populations and all the fish that we're moving around. Now, as far as the different product there, what that's going to be, for the most part, is going to be fish coming out of our recirculating aquaculture systems, these RAS systems. We're able to grow them to a larger size than we generally are with other hatchery product, for example. An example would be we received some catfish from Nebraska, I believe. They were placed into RAS systems, and we were able to raise them to a size of about, I think we had 3.5 pounds is what we stocked them at. So again, a much larger product than what we might have in the past where it was basically fry, fingerling, or advanced fingerling. Now we're really putting some of these larger catchables out there and some of these species that we couldn't in the past.
Jake, does South Dakota have a particular fish that's in more demand from other states? Do they want our walleye? Kind of along those lines.
Sure. So, Madam Chair, it depends. Every year is a little bit different. I would say, and Mike would be able to answer this question a little bit better than I would, just being in some of those conversations. But in some cases, it's not always just fish. It might be some of our institutional knowledge with, say, RAS systems. We can provide some technical expertise as they're developing some of those systems. In other cases, it might be, again, a timing side of things where or just a space where we're able to raise it. They might be able to raise a certain species, but we might have a later product or more room to raise those fish where they it puts them in less of a bind, if you will. So in general, it's going to be your standard species, though, that anglers are trying to target, whether that's walleye, largemouth bass, channel catfish, bluegill, things of those nature. Yep.
All right, thank you. Any other questions or comments? Commissioner Teal.
Commissioner Teal, real quick, Jake, is this the first year that we've had access to cutthroat trout?
Through the chair. Commissioner Teal, it is not. So it's been, we used to stock cutthroat a number of years ago, and we actually held our own brood stock. We did not for several years, but probably starting in about 2016 or 17, we started stocking cutthroat again in Center Lake and then the Sturgis reservoirs, the Sturgis dams. So it's been a few years that we've been back stocking cutthroat in the state.
Yep. Very good. Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, Commissioner Whitmire. Yeah, thank you. You talked about the RAS. You know, certainly that's an intriguing new way of producing fish. And also you've got this ability now to check to see which fish is which, if it came from this hatchery or whatnot. How are we doing on studying the viability of a RAS-produced fingerling or fish or what have you compared to the traditional methods of what we've, you know, done historically and without the RAS system?
Through chair. Yeah, Commissioner Whitmire, excellent question, and it's ongoing right now. So as soon as we've been able to start stocking some of those RAS product, we have been evaluating them. A lot of it has been fairly straightforward as far as we'd stock fish in the spring, go back and look for them in the fall and determine based on fin clips or something like that where their natal origin, if they came from a RAS or if they came from Blue Dog State Fish Hatchery or if they were hatched in the wild. Our goal is to utilize some different techniques to get a better idea once they're 1, 2, 3 years old, which we're still in that point where some of those fish haven't even had a chance to grow or live that long yet that have been stocked from those RAS systems. But on a statewide level, we look at where we're stocking these different products and then task staff with evaluating these individual stockings. So I can tell you in just about every part of the state, staff are looking at the product that they're stocking, what systems, and then what ways we can evaluate that natal origin to tell if they're coming from RAS systems, from our pond systems, or if they're hatched in the wild. We've got some pretty interesting stuff happening. Actually, we're looking at using the fish eyeballs, if you will, so that you can tell where fish were from, what their natal origin. They're picking up those chemical signatures, and so that's some pretty really cool work that's coming out of our Sioux Falls office. So again, looking at a lot of different options, but on just an annual basis, when we look at where we're stocking these fish, we task our staff in those areas to evaluate them. So every year we're getting to learn a little bit more information, but the hope is that here in a year or two, we're really going to have a lot more. And just understanding not just 3 months survival, if you will, from stocking the spring to the fall, but then 1, 2, 3 years out.
Yeah, thank you.
Very good. Very good presentation. Thank you for that one. And I know you're going to stick with us.